old school. Used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, nah, everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. Yep, he's old school. Yep, used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, now everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, log on. Log on. BobbyBuck.com.
Hello, folks. Hello, folks. Hello, folks.
Hello, hello.
Everybody doing good in here?
Yes. Very good.
All right. Is Barry White still here?
Yep.
Okay.
So you're right.
Oh, okay, now.
Oh, we got two Barry. Right. We got to talk about a contract with y'all, too. We're going to give them something else first. But I'm gonna let everybody go ahead and introduce themselves. So starting over here.
Ooh, okay. Suzette Shaw.
All right.
Robert Hubbard.
Manuel Campito.
Y'all, it's Tank White.
George Hogan, a.k.a. Quick.
All right, it's me, Bobby Buck, BobbyBuck.com. So what we're going to do tonight, going to be a different type of panel thing going on as far as we're going to be speaking on domestic violence in the first half of the show. And then also later on, we'll have Manuel Campito. We're going to speak about the Big Billy trash cans. The number they have at the Pershing Square and what we need with Skid Row, and also talk about the kids of Skid Row being left out of everything. So, but we're going to start this first segment off talking about the domestic violence, and we're going to have a little twist to it because we're going to speak on, like, you know, we have due respect to women who have gone through domestic violence or going through it and everything. But we also have a twist to talk about some men who have gone through domestic violence and also some men who have been wrongfully accused or set up through domestic violence. So we're going to speak on that tonight. So anyway, we're going to get who want to be the first one to speak on some things that you have going on personally with your own personal domestic violence. All right, go first.
All right, my name is Quick, and on the domestic violence thing, which I like to put it in Penal Code 273, I just got through doing time for domestic violence, and I was the victim in that situation. But I'm concerned, I'm always the victim because I didn't initiate anything, but I had to do the time for it. You know, not to knock women down or nothing, you know what I mean? But you got women sometimes, man, they get the wrong interpretation of a man, especially if they never had a real man in their life. And they take it to the extreme. They don't want to deal with things the way it really is. So, you know what I mean? They'll go to the level to either lie, because they know that the police is going to be on their side, you know what I mean, when they come in. You know what I mean? But I done seen it work both ways. You know what I mean? You got a lot of women that commit domestic violence, too. You know what I mean? I'm in school for it right now, and there's got a lot of women in my class right now that done beat the hell out of their men. You know what I mean? And they feel good about it because they talk about it a lot in a matter of saying that they did something great. You know what I mean? But it's never great for a woman to even put her hands on a man. It's supposed to be a respect line. You know what I mean? A woman should know her place. You know what I mean? Just as well as a man. But, you know, it's always put on the man when something bad happens. You know what I mean? It's always going to be our fault. You know what I mean? Because I guess we men, we supposed to be the head anyway. But you know, you got a lot of women that wants to be the head of everything. I mean, and don't have no understanding about nothing.
Oh, okay, I feel you on that. Does anybody else want to go next?
Well, I'm not so much concerned about a woman's place. You know, I think that in a relationship, it's a partnership. Okay, and everybody has a role to play, and a lot of times, in terms of relationships, communication is a key thing. And we begin to use words, you know, like, I love you. I care for you. I'm loyal to you. And both people don't always have the same definition, you know. I know I've been in relationships, and I haven't always been the good guy, but I can remember times, you know, where your car window get broke, your tires get cut up, you know, and, you know, okay, saying for no reason, you know, but I think there are reasons. Not to say they're justified.
Right.
But there are reasons that domestic violence happens. And I think that a lot of times we don't want to concern ourselves with the reason. You know, they say, no reason. Okay, maybe the reason is not a good reason, but there's reasons. So if I know that if I provoke you, something's going to happen, then I shouldn't provoke you.
Yeah.
But you must understand, a lot of times in a domestic violence situation, it's a setup anyway. Because once a person, after being so long with a person, and instead of them separating and just going their separate ways, the communication, the trust, all the things of value in a relationship is broke. And instead of them going their separate ways, they continue to stay together. So what is it going to become? Y'all don't like each other. You don't care about each other anymore. You don't trust each other.
Right.
Nobody's loyal to each other. So it's going to come to where now we're in a situation where I want to win. I don't want to see nobody else with him. You know, I'd have been put in one of them situations where it's like I'm doing something totally different. I got to go down to the police station and talk to the police. And I ain't did nothing. I've been nowhere around. You know, but yeah. I'm being accused of domestic violence, but the person that's accusing me is the one that's attacking me, scratching me, bust, like you say, cut the tire, bust the window. But then us as men, we supposed to sit back and take this. Do you know, I'd have been put in a situation where I had to go get a 5-year restraining order on a female. That's the max you can put on a person to leave you alone. And you know, that's bad when you can't even walk down the street.
Yeah.
That person is coming and looking to agitate you, to provoke you. And when you see it and you know what that person is doing and you don't bite into it,
that makes it worse.
That makes it worse. Mm-hmm. And then they react. Mm-hmm. That's just like, really, look at all races.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all races. Every other race female respects their man except ours.
That's the key word that you just said right there. That's the key word is respect.
Respect.
Because what? The Willie Lynch law. What happened? They took the child, dangled it in front of the woman, get your man to work these fields or we're going to do something to your child. They put the woman over the man. God made Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they took and reversed the laws. That's just like, wow. If you read your Bible right or you know anything about the Bible, you know, Adam had two wives, Lilith and Eve. And Adam asked God, why did you give me these forsaken things?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that, though.
Right.
And, you know, that's how us men that's been abused with domestic violence feel. Why did you give us something forsaken?
Mm.
You know, because there's a lot of men that has gone through domestic violence. Where it's like, okay, I'll come in, you snatching, pulling on my clothes, where you been, what you been doing? Hold on, wait a minute, what's wrong with you?
Right.
You know, you can't say how you doing, you know, would you like something to eat? Ooh, no. So when it's a person of negativity, sometimes you don't recognize until it's too late.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just want to say that when grown folks, keywords to me, grown folks and respect. So if grown folks are dealing with one another as grown folks and like you said, you know, being able to walk away is key, and just being able to respect one another and understanding boundaries and the fact that, you know, you don't own nobody, you know, I mean, that's what it boils down also. It's like, you don't own me. I don't own you. I mean, I know how emotions can get like so strong and everything in a heated situation. But I'm grateful that I've never been in a domestic violence relationship. I'm not saying I've been in perfect relationships, but I'm grateful that I've never had a domestic violence relationship. And so, but you know, it really comes down to respect and you know, and I am. For myself, you know, I've always normally been able to maintain a friendship with men after, even after a breakup. So I mean, and even when, you know, we weren't getting along, you know, I mean, it's like we might have been hot-headed there for a minute and, you know, needed to maybe part ways, how you were talking earlier. But, you know, there comes a, but again, it comes down to me, respect and friendship. If you have the basis of respect and friendship in a relationship, then you can respect one another to walk away and not want to. When you really love someone, as far as I'm concerned, you're not looking to try and bring harm to them. You're not trying to put your hands on them. You know, you're not trying to call them out of their name and so on and so forth. I've never gone there in a relationship. I pray that I never go there in a relationship.
You know, that's what... Something that she was just saying, like, that's what I was just thinking about, was, like, just watching my parents, like, growing up. They acted like they hated each other, like, always fighting. And my mom was the aggressor most of the time. She was the one attacking my dad. But I didn't see it as a hate. What I saw at the end of the day, they still loved each other. They just could not stand being around each other. But like she's saying, like, maybe they knew that they needed to part ways. They need to know that they needed to part ways, but neither one of them could take the initiative and go and leave, you know? So that the fact that they're both trying to see other people or trying to do other things to avoid the other person or just get away from the spouse, you know? And it wasn't necessarily hate. It's just the fact I hate seeing your face. I hate talking to you. Why are you talking to me? I don't care. To where as a woman, it's like, I don't see you no more. I'm not making you food. I'm not cooking your sandwich. I'm not warming that hot water up in the shower for you. I'm not going to pull your clothes out because you're not here. You don't show me love. So, like, people don't listen, and they just try to stay together. And knowing that hatred is building, that hatred for one another, standing around each other, and that's where they lose all sense of relationship, friendship, respect, everything, because they stay too long. Because I've seen my parents now. They communicate like they love each other, but neither one of them loves. Like, they don't live together. They know they won't stay together. They can't see each other face to face. But it comes down to love in the end. That's where they still have that friendship and that respect, because it's because of love. They built that love first to where they can be anything. That it's not going to break their love. And I feel like domestic violence comes because you love too much, to where you get jealous when you see he's talking to another person, or you get jealous because his phone's ringing and it ain't you texting him. It ain't him, you know? And women are the ones that get mad about that. Not men. Men don't give a fuck. They're like, who's that dude? Go talk to your dude then.
But yeah, that portion of it right there is not love, though. That portion of it right there, that's not really talking about love. That's about ownership. That's about power and having control over somebody. You know, and I'm a very, very strong-willed black woman. And, you know, and I mean, but in a relationship, you know, I don't come into a relationship looking at, like, I'm going to try and, you know, own you and, you know, and you know, and have all this control over you. But, you know, you have to also, that's where you're talking about when two people can respect one another. And
but do you see as where, even in biblical times, the woman never had the same place as the man? But nowadays, I feel women want to be the man. They want to wear the pants in the relationship, but women, that's not their place. The women is their place is to take care of the home. The man is supposed to bring you the breadwinner, bring home the butter, bring home the bacon.
Hold on.
The woman takes care of the home.
They fought for them rights.
They should have their equal rights. But I still believe women don't understand that's a woman's duty. That was your duty by God, to take care of your man, to love your man. But I feel men do take it and exploit it out of hand, to where she didn't cook a meal for you. Oh, shit. Like, I'm going to beat her now because she didn't cook for me.
But then certain things, certain situations, they done been through that. I done seen relationships with a person that's like that, where they both get drunk and do something to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 20 years, y'all still together and it's love. And I'm looking like, y'all both fools. You ain't going to get drunk and cut me or hit me in the head with a bottle. I'm going to go to the hospital and come back.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Okay. You got a woman here.
Hi, I'm Trina. In the Bible, it says a woman is supposed to be her husband's helper. So we're supposed to help a man in every way they need us to help them. We're supposed to be their backbone. We're supposed to be there when they're down, when they're up, when they're going through something. We're never supposed to leave them, and we're supposed to support them in every way possible.
Yeah, but then a man has to also, if you with the man that will respect also you as a woman, then, you know, you can be, a woman. I mean, when I'm not talking child, woman, girl, I'm talking a woman. A woman will do all of those things. I've been a woman out in the working world and out in the, you know, professional world all of my life. I've never been married. I'm not going to try and say that I have, but I've been in, you know, long, long relationships. But the thing is that I may be that liberated woman out when I'm out in the working world. When I'm in a home, I respect I respect the space I give a man in a relationship. I give a man a lot of love and space and honor in a relationship. But then he has to come at me in the same respect, though. If a man's not coming at you in the same way, then it's you. That's not your man, and that's not the person that, you know, you're supposed to be giving all of that to. It's just not.
In today's time in society, females are not even taught to respect themselves.
Exactly.
They're not even taught to respect themselves. You know, it's like, wow. That's like when you give a child, let me show you how cold society is set up for motherhood. I'm going to give my daughter a Barbie. I'm teaching my daughter how to take care of a child instead of how to grow up to be a child.
We're talking about culture, see. Culture changes a lot of things.
That's the reason why things is the way it is. Now, that's like domestic violence, even the courts now, whoever called first. Or we're going to take the whole house. Everybody going to jail.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? And that was the woman's weapon back then.
Either they threaten the woman with, if they got children, they'll threaten the woman with, if you don't come testify, or if you allow this man to get away with this, here, we're going to take the kids. So that's the boundaries they put upon that woman to keep her from coming down when she knows she don't want to do it.
Goes back to the Willie Lynch.
Exactly.
Yeah. It goes back to the Willie Lynch. And then what makes it so bad, you know, a lot of people, sometimes they have a misunderstanding. They might have an argument, might get loud and temperate. And you got the nosy neighbors calling, oh, they fighting. Now the police at the door.
Right.
Excuse me, is their problem? Yes, you at my door.
But on the same token, on this culture thing, like they got kids calling, you know, little kid get a mark on them or whatever, you whoop your kid, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, your kid calling the police on you.
Yeah.
Now, women have learned to use that weapon. You know, you don't have to do nothing.
Right.
They know that. I'm going to call the police. That's the first thing they say.
I done went to jail, like you say, for something. I'm laying in the bed. My oldest son mother go down the street a block away, call the police, say I jumped on her. I get a knock at the door. I know it's the police. I ain't did nothing to this woman. When I answered the door, they like, whoop-de-woo-woo. I'm like, yeah, that's me. We have a call about domestic violence. About what? Mm-hmm. Well, we have a call from this person saying that you did this to them. Well, I'm in my boxers and a slingshot. Can I put on some pants and slide on some shoes? Because I'm on parole, so I know the procedure.
Right.
And then when we come downstairs, my baby mama sitting there snickering and giggling.
Mm.
But the whole thing, you trying to get my money, and I done took the money and put it in my pocket in my pants.
Right.
And then with me happening to know a little something about, from having homies, you know, go to court for the fake domestic violence.
Right.
Excuse me, sir, ma'am, officer. Can she take pictures? Can you have the paramedics called out here and take pictures? Can you have the watch commander called out here right now?
Of course.
Because a lot of men don't know that's your legal right.
Mm. Okay.
That's your legal right to ask for the watch commander out there and call for the paramedics.
Right.
We got a domestic dispute. Why is the police here, not the paramedics?
Well, we shouldn't have to be going through all of that.
But see, right. On that same situation that he's talking about, the same thing happened to me. I had to pay for another woman scoring. Somebody else and dogged her out. Well, I mean, over the years, and she get with me. She can't stand to see that I'm a good dude and I'm trying to be that good dude that she never had, but she turns around. She goes down the streets all night. I'm at home with the kids. Well, I mean, like I always am, and the police come kick the door in. Wake me up out the bed, just like you. And my bosses, the kids screaming, hollering, what's going on? They snatch me up. bring me out in the hallway, ain't got no clothes on. They got her down at the end of the hallway. I'm asking them what's going on. They said, well, then we got a call saying that you had a gun. Was the gun? I was like, what gun? What are you talking about? So I had a cigarette lighter that looks like a gun on top of the TV. They was like, oh, this the gun she said that you had pulled on her when she came in here. I was like, man, that woman ain't been here. What are you talking about? So they was like, zoom position, turn around, put your hand behind your back. I was like, yo, so you taking me to jail for what? Do she have any scars on her? She haven't been here. So what happened was they take me to jail. I stay in jail 4 days. Out of those 4 days, I was there. She came the second day down there to the jail. I'm sorry. I'm like, man, you know what? That's ludicrous. You got me locked up for nothing, man, because you was out doing what you wanted to do, and you came back here expecting for me to jump on you, and I didn't do that to you.
I didn't respond.
You know what I mean? You knew it was over when you did that. Now you afraid that you finna lose me, which you already have. Why is you here? Mm-hmm. So they let me go. But a week go by, the detectives come back out, they refile. They take me back to jail. Mm. Okay, I go in the courtroom. I had two people to testify and say, man, that man ain't done nothing to her. He always had those kids. She runs the streets a lot. She never with them. They still give me 3 years for that. Now, I done lost 3 years out of my life. Okay, now I got to come back out and start all over again.
And that whole setup there, you got to look at it. That was like you say, when she knew you was not going to be with her anymore, she knew that that final thread, a hope, a cast, whatever she had, was cut.
Of course.
So she had to do something to try to put you in a position where you become dependable upon her again.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, y'all. Hey, we getting
ready. Hell knows no fury like a woman. y'all know the script.
All right, yeah. But I tell you, we got a professional opinion, too. We got a caller. Caller, you're live. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I know you say your voice is trying to leave you today because trying to keep you from speaking tonight, but you say you're going to go ahead and do it, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do the best I can. I hope I'm not too bad.
Okay, all right. So you've been listening, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right. So we want to get your professional opinion, your professional view of what you've been hearing tonight.
And first, before I really move on into what I want to say is, really be able to define domestic violence. There are two forms of domestic violence. The first one is situational violence, where it's symmetrical within that argument or that conflict. You have both individuals that are both aggressors. You don't have a clear perpetrator and you don't have a clear victim. The two of them have been put in a situation that got out of hand and they're able to move on from that situation. And then you have what we call characterological violence. In this particular violence, there is a clear perpetrator and there is a clear victim. The perpetrator in this situation uses control and uses manipulation to get their way in the relationship, and the victim is the one that is constantly being abused. What you have to understand is that this pattern has to go on, and it must continue as a cycle within that relationship. And you go through your three stages, and you end up continuously repeating those three stages. And what I'm hearing a lot from the panel is a lot of situational incidents that ended up being charged as a characterological case. And I feel bad for these stories because it is unfair for the individuals on this panel to experience what they had to experience. And a lot of this is really due to the lack of research and knowledge that we lack in the field, especially the research that we need with men that's being victims in domestic violence. In our society, men are supposed to be considered the strong ones, the ones that can protect themselves, the ones that can handle the situation, and the women are oftentimes seen as the ones that will be the victim in those situations. And we lack a lot of research because a lot of the men in these situations that are put in domestic violence situations usually stay silent. And because we stay silent, we're not going to go out to our boy and say, man, my woman whooped my tail last night, and I don't know what to do. We're just going to keep those things to ourselves, and that really hurt our research in really being able to put together programs for men to empower men and to empower society to be educated on men being victims in domestic violence. When you look at the amount of shelters for women and the very few shelters for men, how many men actually go to a shelter and really utilize that resource?
Excuse me, sir. I have to disagree with you there. There's not a lot of shelters for women.
I see what it is. He's in Arkansas. So,
okay.
So out here, it's a little, it's a whole lot different.
Now, in Arkansas, we do a very good job. We have a an Arkansas Coalition Against Domestic Violence here. We have over 30 shelters in our area. We have a coalition that is really doing a lot to bring awareness to domestic violence here in our state. I apologize if that's not going on there. But another area that we're really starting to target here is being able to educate young people and being able to let them know about domestic violence and how to protect themselves and be safe in those situations. What we do fail to target is men, younger male groups, and educating them as well, which goes back to our lack of research and understand the importance of being able to empower our men in domestic violence situations as well.
Okay, well, I've got to introduce you who you are, too, so go ahead and let everybody know who you are speaking.
I am Charlie Simpson. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here in the state of Arkansas. I work with numerous domestic violence type situations in my practice, where about 96% of my cases are couples. And another thing that we really fail to address is the deeper issues to domestic violence. You know, in my cases, when I really hear of domestic violence, there is a history. And I'm not saying all of it is history, but there's a strong correlation to history. And when a person is placed in a situation or a relationship where they don't have the answers to effectively solve conflicts, you go to what you know. And if what I know is what I saw growing up, or if what I know is what I learned in past abusive relationships, you tend to utilize some of those techniques. And there's a lot of anger management type sessions where you are learning about triggers, you are understanding and processing your perspective on domestic violence, and being able to utilize interventions that can help you be able to manage conflict in a more meaningful manner. And there's also education for the victim as well, to be able to empower them to be able to say, if I am in a domestic violence situation, I must not stay silent, and I must find ways to be able to either exit this relationship or find ways to improve this relationship, which is what my practice is based on, and that is making sure that people are empowered.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, we got a question for you, or a statement.
No, I was just thinking that I think one of the things he was saying about relationships, and what he pointed out, a lot of people try to stay in relationships when it needs to be over with.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's a good point, because 7 out of 10 victims will return to that relationship. Let me throw a scenario out. You know, I'll just say that You're an unidentified gender that was raised seeing mom and dad fight day in and day out. Your body starts to develop what we call just a coping mechanism to that type of environment. Once you stay in that type of environment, also it's similar to veterans or soldiers experiencing PTSD day after day. Well, when they come home, they still have a difficult time managing those symptoms, and they often act out those behaviors because of what they have experienced in that post-traumatic situation. But if you put a child in a domestic violence situation that enters adulthood, you're going to have someone that is accustomed to abuse, that is accustomed to violence. And in their way of thinking, that is normal for them. And for them to go into adulthood, oftentimes they unconsciously seek out those particular controlling type behaviors, and they often find themselves starting another pattern of domestic violence, whether they consciously wanted it or not. And that's why we have a huge relapse rate, because people return back to something that was comfortable to them. They return back to a person that they even might have connected abuse with love. And until we really start to empower those individuals with being able to help them understand what is love, what is nurturing, we'll continue to have a high relapse rate, and we'll continue to have a group of victims that will continue to feel as if there's no hope. I'll always end up in a domestic violence situation. So I might as well just, whatever the excuse is, for staying where I am now.
Charlie, one thing that I wanted to mention is you talked about kids earlier and trying to work with young people. One of the things that I notice is that that young people, and then it goes into our adult life, we start out like an emotional relation, like emotional bondage type of violence, you know, like emotional more so than even physical. Like, you know, there's mind games that are played, and people get caught up in the mind games and emotional aspect of it, even sometimes much more so than like the physical part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you're absolutely right. And that goes back to that manipulation and that control. You know, if you watch your parents control each other, you tend to develop those skills. Let me throw reverse to that, and that is, you can even see control, your parents controlling each other, and you make a vow to yourself to say, I will never allow anyone to control me the way that I saw my parents trying to control each other. And so you can either take a positive mentality and go into adulthood, and you can find yourself saying that whenever you connect with a partner that comes into the relationship and they don't display any signs of control or manipulation, but because of the vow that you made at an early age to make sure that you protect yourself, you can start a situation of domestic violence and make this other person become a victim. And so there's always a flip side to things. And there's so many different dynamics that we can address. We heard a lot of dynamics on the panel today, but what it really boils down to is educating people, especially educating people at an early age before the domestic violence really gets out of hand, which I'm fortunate enough to experience. And we just have to continue educating people. And I'm really commend you all for having this discussion, because this is what is needed for the community.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. It was another thing I was thinking, you know, like, you know, we was coming up and we get out there in the club scenes. And people have a tendency of telling people what they want them to hear in order to get what I want to get. Relationships start off on a lie. That's why they end up, the way they end up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's a key thing.
Don't even talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we started off.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you know what now? Because there ain't no courting going on when you're in the bar. You just tell a whole pack of lies and then so you got to get to know each other.
And but getting back to the whole the youth and domestic violence, being the kids, you know, like I seen it. You know what I see, like how it has done now is it give the youth no identity. We have no identity. Most kids now grow up not knowing who the hell they are. So they act out doing retarded things, acted out dressing ways in ways they know they're.
Yeah, with their pants.
They know that it's not accepted. They know that it's not right, but they do it anyways because they don't understand that, you know, they don't have an identity themselves. So they're trying to do everything that's in, everything that's popular, everything that's there. They just want to do it because they don't understand that this way is misleading. They don't understand that it's that domestic violence that has corrupted their minds to thinking like, okay, because back then, I don't know about y'all, but most older people I know wanted to be like their dads, wanted to be like their moms. Saw mom in the kitchen cooking, wanted to be mom. Saw dad working hard, wanted to be dad. You know, I see most people always like that. And nowadays in the youth, we have divorce. You know, we have easy ways out of everything. Nobody wants to try and make things work, you know. And as far as domestic violence, even the ones that try to make it work, they don't understand when, okay, we've tried to make it work. Let's cut this. We have divorce, you know, but people are still living by that standard where back in the day when you went to divorce, it was like you were scorned as a woman. A woman was shamed when she had to go through divorce. So women nowadays will take that abuse. Men nowadays will take that hatred that they want for women, and it'll drive them to abuse. Mm-hmm. It'll drive.
Let me share a cultural statistic and myth when it comes to domestic violence. Our history shows us that domestic violence has always been a part of relationships. You go back to the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you might say, well, I want to return to those 60s, and I want to return to those times back then when, you know, parents and people stayed together in relationships. That's a myth. You know, people struggle.
But I do. One thing I do believe now is laws nowadays have made it. It's made it soft. Everybody has to be soft. You cannot be a man. Cannot be a man in front of his woman anymore. A man can't. If his woman's yelling at him, a man can't go, you know what? Get the hell out of my face. Can't say it aggressively because she can call. That's domestic violence. Even if I took the phone because I don't want you calling your people fucking talking shit about me, doing whatever you're doing. I'm gonna take my phone away. You're not gonna touch my phone. The fact that you didn't touch my phone, you can call the police and be like, that's domestic violence. He's hiding his phone from me. Like, I can't call someone. I'm a fear of my safety. We've made it to where men cannot be men anymore, to where women feel like, you know, that they are superior. Like, I feel a woman is not superior. If anything, she is equal. If we're kings, she's a queen. So, but a woman understands to be that queen, to earn our respect, you have to do your womanly duties.
They're not doing it nowadays.
They're not doing it, though. Nobody's doing their duty.
You got to look at it. Hold on. Wait a minute. Can I say something? Yeah. They need to take Lifetime off of TV. Snap off of TV. Because that is giving these women of societies these sick ideals today that they can get away with certain things.
And social media is making things worse. You know, World Star.
You gotta understand, how can you teach when, okay, that's like you say, we need to teach. Okay, just like I feel about the thing. Okay, we gotta start with the younger generation because like this young man just said right here, his generation, they all messed up right now because divorce is nothing, has no meaning. Marriage has no meaning now. That's like really has no meaning because what? Now they're trying to make it legal in the United States. Gay open marriage has no meaning. Household has no standards because you got a woman trying to be a man and marry another woman. That's an abomination to God right there itself. But see, man marrying another man.
But it was what is also happening, and people don't like when, you know, you necessarily talk about this, but we have generation after generation after generation of babies having babies. And so you have people starting families that they're babies themselves, so they don't necessarily even understand what it means to be and act like a grown folks and to be in a really mature relationship because they haven't taken the time to really find out who they are, let alone to know who they're actually going to be making babies with, as well as sharing a household with. You know, you got to know yourself really, really well as who you're going to lay down with before you decide to lay down with them and create another human being. And we're not necessarily doing that, you know? So there's we have no generation after generation of it.
There's no love in the world. Like, well, in any aspect of anything, there's no love. And domestic violence is a big part of showing that there's no love anymore.
But being a man, being a woman, being a carpenter, being a hunter, these things were taught in society. We go back to culture. But men are not taught how to be men. Women are not taught how to be men. Or,
right, no,
or you wouldn't have no females went sagging. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you talk about disrespect to men, you already got women that want to replace the man, you know, and the woman. So we tore up right there. So
you know, that's like I can speak from personal experience. When me and my wife started, we was like, okay, I already know we at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, bye, leave me alone. What you still sitting here for in my face?
Right.
She done broke up everything in the house that was mine. My watch collection, my chessboard, my piggy bank. Everything that was mine, and had the nerve to say, I'm going to call the police. You know what I said? Call the police, stupid. Look, all of that stuff is mine. You going to tell the police I tore up my stuff? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and call the police, stupid, because I know what you're trying to do. Because you done, quote, unquote, put it somewhere in your small, bitter mind that you can antagonize me enough to provoke me to where I do something. So now that you got your case where, okay, I put him in a cage. I can control him now. He needs me now.
That's wrong. I mean,
but
that
see,
is
that's
wrong.
What we are subjected to as men. We go through a lot.
Yeah.
And we are asked to walk with our head hung high. You know, like nothing is wrong with us. Like we perfect everything. We got to take things on our chin and keep going. Because what? We a punk or whatever when we reach out and open up. But see, you know, nowadays men don't even care. Men be like, man, my wife tripping. I don't even want to go home, homie. Let me lay on your couch. Like,
but as men, are we taking the initiative and telling a woman she's a woman? Telling her she's beautiful.
You know,
telling her she's
some women don't even some women don't even care about that.
Yeah.
Because you gotta understand. You gotta understand their mind is so twisted and manipulated that they don't know who they are. First, a woman, for you to love somebody else, I had to learn this. I gotta love myself before I can sit here and be like in a relationship with Suzette and actually say, I love you.
And that is very rare because I've never met a woman that fully loved herself, because a woman's always hated something about themselves. Always. They always got that thing that they hate.
Well, there you go right there.
They've never loved themselves.
If you know, we were talking about the mannequin. You know, you go, you seen a mannequin. You got the wig on it. You got the clothes on it. Now, you get you a woman. You got a woman. She got, I mean, everybody want to look good, self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know, I like for your nails to be done. I would like for them to be your nails. I like for you to have your hair done. I like it for it to be yours.
Yeah.
Because if everything on you is imitation, what about your personality?
Imitation?
It got to be. Because you wear stuff. You use everything to enhance yourself.
But women have come to all that.
So it ain't even you no more.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm 50 years old. And 2 years ago when I ended up homeless, and, you know, I remember when I first came to L.A. August 1st, 2012, I remember writing on my Facebook page, you know, I want to discover my authentic self. You know, I mean, I had already started on that journey, but I mean, it really, I feel like I've even grown more empowered as a woman with, you know, just letting go of any, you know, I feel like I'm very transparent as far as where I am and who I am at this point in my life. And, you know, people will judge me and hate me for where I am and what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, I understand what you're saying, because I gave up putting chemicals in my hair because, you know, because it's like, how can I say I want to discover my authentic self and then put chemicals in my hair? You know what I'm saying? How can I say, you know, I want to discover my authentic self and put alcohol on my body or, you know, put makeup on my face? You know, I mean, so I really have to, like, really get to the nitty gritty of who I am in order to find that authentic me.
Okay, all right.
Y'all,
all right.
Starting to really go into a whole different area.
Slow it down a little bit because we've got a little time left. We got my man Tank White go perform tonight. He's going to be the entertainment. But why don't you go ahead and get your information, Charlie Simpson. And, like I said, we're going to be having you be like a little regular call-in so we start getting this information out a whole lot more. So go and get your information. People contact you.
So if you want to contact me, you can reach me at www.arkansasrelationshipcounseling.com. Like I said, I am licensed here. Or you can give me a call, 501-313-1185. I do relationship retreats where I really educate people on these types of matters. And more importantly, how to develop some skills to be able to avoid these types of situations as well moving forward. So feel free to contact me anytime.
All right, thank you.
Can I ask one question?
Hold on. Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you think it's so much domestic violence in Arkansas?
I mean, it's just everywhere, but, I mean, you got to understand the national divorce rate is hovering around 50%. And that's, I mean, every two couples you see, one of them is getting ready to head for divorce. I'm in a very, very lucrative and very busy profession.
Yes, you are.
Because people are not really learning the skills to maintain healthy relationships. And this goes back to education. How many classes did you take to help prepare you for understanding who you are as an individual, understanding how to communicate and interact with other people, and understanding how to nurture and how to build a meaningful relationship with someone. And then you're going to just expect to get into adulthood and learn how to do that, man. Come on now.
So for better or for worse, don't work no more.
So you're going to let a snake bite you twice.
That's how it is. We just say,
you're going to let a snake bite you twice. That's what you're saying. A person do you wrong. Oh, we going to go to counseling and see what we can do right. Oh, no, you did me wrong the first time. You might kill me the second time. If you don't, we're going back to counseling. What's left the third time?
All right, we'll take care of that. We got to do this show again. Make sure we get Charlie.
It's continuation.
Yeah,
brothers.
So we're going to go ahead and get Mr. Tank White to go ahead and bust some flows. Thank you, Charlie.
It's his birthday, too.
Thank you.
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you,
White.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. I ain't going to sing for you.
You gonna sing for me next week, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is actually my new single, man. I'm actually gonna drop a video to this coming up in a couple weeks. I just want to practice it on your show.
All right.
Gotta wait for it to drop, I guess. Can I get my turned up? Which one turn it up? Can I turn up the headphones?
Saver Productions.
Okay. Cool. This for y'all right here, then.
Without this hollering, bombing with your hypocrisy. Abandon my position to clear them right off this balcony. Hip hop for that, that's me enough. Without this mockery, the fakeness given. Nah, fuck your punchlines coming back to me. Step up, come get wrecked up. Professional boss, one less sons. Try building on your scheme. Stay on beats and readily mess up. My team, we building on dreams. Sequel heat, so bring your best ones. Me, myself, and I. Three combined, who want to test us? The captain with the passion of smashing on all opposed. My mastery took some practice and stacking, I'm in control. Tragedy, swear it's after me. Clash, the more I grow. This canvas that I imagine, pay my vision with that. Fuck consumptions, I'm gunning on anyone. One who says I'm wack, fuck your pussin', keep pussin', don't be the one to fall back. Front line, lyrical warfare, and I'm leading the pack. Who told you hip-hop wasn't rugged, where they getting those facts? But where they getting those facts? Who told you hip-hop wasn't rugged, where they getting those facts? But they don't like me, dawg. 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 Please don't, I'm mad cause they keep comparing me. The cats that speak on fable. I'm lashing out my aggression. Don't make me take all your payroll. The bastard with the gas and a half a pack of the matches. I'm burning down all you whack ones who mastered the craft of acting. Rapping battery acid and half a roll of this plactus. And set them on fire faster than campfires in Alaska. But they don't like me, dog. 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 Please don't bother me. I don't want company. I just want space. I'd rather be on my own than in a scene full of snakes. Taking a toll that they don't notice that I'm earning my place. I pay my dues, support the moves. So how much more does it take? Do I got to revert to that life by swinging the bat on mics? Take it up another notch and let this blood that mines. I'm swimming this more around mine. So bring the world out right. I'm keeping it real. That's how I feel. I never fall in line. But I. They don't like me, dog. 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 Yeah. They don't like me, dog.
That's it right there.
All
right.
They don't like me, dog.
They don't like me, dog. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. I tell you what, I love they don't like me.
I know they don't like me.
If there's any listeners in the area, you can catch me tonight at the Universal Bar and Grill up in North Hollywood. I'll be up there. It's over off Lancashire, man.
Okay.
I'm about to go by there before I go home. All right. Well, I'm going to everybody go ahead and give you a round of information for people to contact you right now. Okay. So start with Miss Suzette, if you're ready for that.
Well, you can catch me on Ladies Takes Mic. Skid Row Women Talk. I'll be back in the audience, back with you guys probably before the end of the month.
All right. All right. Got Mr. Hubbard over there.
Okay. Yes. My name is Robert Hubbard. You can contact me at roberthubbard2011 on Facebook, gmail.com. You know, you can also hit me up on at bragg74560 at gmail.com also.
Oh, did we miss up on the belly button?
Yeah, we got to go. Yeah.
Well, I came here with one thing, I'm gone. Not at all. Yeah, well, anyway, y'all hit me up on Facebook. You know, a lot of stuff going on. With the belly button.
Yep, you talking.
Yeah. So just get at me, hit me up on Manuel Compito on Facebook. Check me out. Operation Facelift, all that stuff. Bobby Buck even got a link to me.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Right. You next, Mr. Tank.
Oh, with my links?
Yeah.
You can find me, first of all, Facebook, Tank White, of course. Anywhere, if you got social media, man, at TankWhite52. Email tankwhite@gmail.com. There's two E's at the end of white, though. You know, just get at me. Send me something.
All right.
My name is George Hogan. You can hit me on Facebook under George Hogan. Just hit me on Facebook. And I also represent the Skid Row Street Ball League. So you go on Facebook, you'll see everything on that link.
Sweet. All right. I'm Bobby Buck, and you'll get me here on Fridays at 7 p.m., 7 to 8. And also, we're going to have Manuel Compito come back. We're going to talk about them, what is it, the belly, big belly, belly, what?
Yeah, big belly. Big belly. What happened on that, man?
Yeah,
you
got to get the big belly.
Yeah, we need to come back and talk about the, you know, really something about they need to do something for the kids in the Skid Row area.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get on that.
Because we need to really serious on that because they can put up all these parks. Why not put play areas in these parks?
Right.
You know, swing set, a little merry-go-round.
We need to do a whole show on that right there.
Yeah. Bring me some big wheels to the park. You got some old
big wheels. We got a big wheel. Bring it down the glass park.
Bring it down the glass park.
Right on.
Bobbybuck.com. Log on. To Bobbybuck.com. Bobbybuck.com. Lobbybuck.com. Lobbybuck.com. Bobbybuck.com.